Welcome to Jessica Miles, the podcast, where each week we'll discuss my experiences as a professional spiritual medium, intuitive healer, and mentor. I'll be sharing what I've learned while developing as a psychic medium and facilitator of ancient healing modalities and much, much more. You were born with this innate ability to communicate and co-create with the unseen realms of the universe. This podcast is for those on a path of self-discovery and spiritual development, seeking grounded and practical tools to feel deeply rooted into spirit. I'm your host, Jessica Miles. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hello, my friend. Hello. Welcome back. We were just talking about this before we started to record, but we've been getting some amazing feedback from having Miss Kristen on the podcast with all of your beautiful wisdom and everything you have to share. And so I'm really excited to move into this next energy, the energy of Aries, with you.
Yes. So
where do we want to begin?
Well, it's kind of a Aries season, you know, it marks the spring equinox. A lot of people associate Aries season with the beginning because it's considered the astrological new year. And people feel the most motivated. Of course, it's springtime, right? So we have the sun in the sky. We've got more light in the sky. And we also have, you know, the winter months are behind us, to where the ground is thawing. Things are starting to spring up in terms of the life of the plants. And people feel very renewed and regenerated during this cycle. So Aries season is always something to look forward to. It's kind of, there's an optimism in the air, there's an energy in the air, and it's the nature of fire, because Aries is obviously a fire sign and it works with the element of fire. So there's just this desire for action and activity under the umbrellas of fire. So it's the time of the year that people feel like, here we go. You know, it's ready, set, go energy.
Oh, I can feel that already. I've been feeling that for like a week and a half or so, where I'm like, oh, this is different. I can already feel the buildup of the energy. Like you said, just wanting to move forward, which feels good, because sometimes I get into those like sleepy energy, and I can be very comfortable in that sleepy, like sort of cave energy. And so this feels much different. Mm-hmm. I feel stronger in my workouts. I'm just feeling much different in my body during this time. So that's great.
Yeah. It's, you know, especially coming out of Pisces season, because Pisces season is such a different frequency than Aries season. It's like, you know, it's feminine, it's water, it's very womby, it's very eggish. You know, we think about the egg, the cocoon. And, you know, when we think about the cycle of the year in terms of the months and the processes, I like to consider how there is a decline come the fall, a decline come the autumn equinox, and we then kind of head into the winter, where the earth kind of falls asleep and everyone starts to really cocoon in, because, you know, many parts of the country or the world are under blankets of snow and it's dark outside. And so we start to come indoors, and there's a closeness and a cocooning that takes place with that process. And, you know, what takes place inside of those tight spaces when we're confined with family or we're confined with our neighbors and we rely on each other through that time of the year. And it's like, it forces you inwards and it forces you into that cocoon space, to where, you know, what is ahead starts to grow itself in your mind and in your psychic space and in sort of the divine space. And that's what leads you into Pisces season, where you start to imagine things and kind of think about things coming into play, thinking about the year ahead. And, you know, we begin to prepare and to build that energy. And so then when the sun enters the sign of Aries, there's this cracking open of the egg, and like the life sort of bursts forth, and it just feels like, okay, now it's time to take action on these goals, these ideas, these dreams, these creative concepts. Or it's also a sense of renewal. You know, it's like when we think about the purification process that comes through Aquarius season, because Aquarius is ruled by Saturn. And through Aquarius season, we have the observation of Lent, which, if you're Catholic, you're familiar with, but it is this sort of an abstinence ritual. And I love to practice abstinence from things. And so I work with that energy. I work with Saturn's Aquarius to abstain from things. And it's that beginning of the purification process that then steps us into Pisces season, where we kind of have a baptismal effect with the nature of the fish inside of the water and washing and cleansing ourselves to then be reborn again through Aries season. So it's like a fresh start every year. And I love that feeling of optimism and freshness and renewal, to where it's like everyone has the opportunity to level themselves up, to take action on their goals, to let go of the past, and to step forward renewed and refreshed and reinvigorated. But yeah, it's a good time of year for, I think, everybody to just think about what they can leave behind or what they have left behind from the previous year, and to think about what they're carrying forward, and to think about what they want to build upon, and know that through the choices of their own will, because that's another important word when it comes with Aries, is will and willfulness, and how we have free will in this life to some degree. We have choices that we can make, and we can make different choices and new choices. And there's just something very empowering about that.
Mm-hmm. I know, I keep thinking about just this last year for myself, and so much, I feel like so much manifested and so much revealed itself to me that I'm still processing the things that, if we want to say that, I'm leaving behind or I'm closing that cycle of. And it's been like that reflection piece where I'm like, whoa, it's been a big one, actually. It's been a lot of shedding and a lot of uncomfortable moments from this last year. Lots of growth, 100%, lots of new opportunities, but there was a lot of points where I felt very uncomfortable in my physical body, in the physicality of my body. And again, that when you're saying this, like becoming born again, I'm like, I can feel that, where it's like, oh, I feel like I'm anchored into this routine. You and I have had many sessions about this where I'm like, when am I going to feel better? Right. When am I going to like feel motivated in my skin and like all of these things? And because again, it was hitting me in a very physical way through my changes and things that were coming forward. And this year, I actually am like, wow, I can feel that like fire in the body where I'm like, oh, this is what all that work was for. It's like cracking through another layer and emerging from that layer in a way that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, it just plays on the idea that we're constantly evolving as humans, and that if we really step into these cycles and work with the cycles consciously, how it gives us the opportunity to level up, to renew ourselves, to reemerge, to leave behind, to shift and to change. And because I always have a fear of stagnation. I think it's the cardinal energy in my personal chart. Like I hate the idea, or I'm fearful of the idea of getting stuck somewhere or staying the same in some way. Like I have this intense desire to constantly propel myself forward and to motivate and to move. And so I love working with the elements in this way to just constantly keep me going and keep me charged. And I think it keeps people young. It keeps people excited about life. It keeps people curious, which I think is so important as being human, is staying curious and staying hopeful and optimistic about life, regardless of your age. Like I don't ever want to fall into the pitfall of age. You know, it's like, I'm getting older, my body's getting older, but I don't ever want to feel like, oh, well, I'm at this age now, so I might as well not bother with trying to continue to progress or continue to develop myself. It's like, I really do want to try to master this thing called life. And I had a reading earlier with a client, and I was like, I want to be Yoda. Like I want to step into the Jedi. Like I want to be the master, you know, it's like, and we don't get that when we're young. It comes through time and space and age. And that's why the masters are older, or always the crones. They're always the wise elders. It's because, you know, they've worked all the way through to the very end to be the best that they can be. So that's what I aspire to. So I love working with these cycles because it just constantly gives you the opportunity to, you know, keep doing the thing and try to do it better and better and better. And that is so Aries, you know, anyone that knows an Aries or has Aries placements has that inherent desire to be the best. You know, Aries likes to win. Aries is, you know, Aries is the warrior. It's ruled by the sign of Mars or the planet of Mars. And it's like that warrior energy, that penetrating energy. It's ambitious, it's driven, it's highly motivated. And so it's, you know, we all have that energy within our charts and we all have that energy within ourselves. It's just learning how to tap into it, regardless if you have planets in those placements. And that is really the nature of us exploring the zodiac signs together and talking about ways to activate and ways to, you know, purposely put yourself into tune with the nature of Aries.
Yeah. As you were saying that, I was just thinking about some of the markers in my eighth house of Aries. I'm all that South node.
Yeah. I mean, there's a desire there, right? There's a struggle there. There's a desire there. And, you know, it's like, regardless of where it is in the chart, it's still just this idea of using the solar cycles to shine light. When we think about the sun's illuminating, the sun is shining light on a sign. It's highlighting a part of the zodiac. And so it's radiating it outwards. So Aries is being shined on all of us right now. So it's really a good opportunity to exercise your inner Aries, regardless if you have Aries energy or not. And you'll find that doing so, everyone can benefit from these types of exercises. I was thinking about it, you know, this morning when I was contemplating doing this recording, it's like some of the nature of Aries. It's like the ability to fight. So let's just simmer on that. Like, how many people actually know how to fight? Is that something that people learn? And no, I mean, it's kind of like, unless you have a desire to maybe step into martial arts training or to take some self-defense classes, which I think a lot of personality types might have an aversion to, but does it benefit everybody to know how to defend themselves or how to hit something or punch something or to protect yourself in some way, shape, or form? It benefits everybody to know these things.
That's so funny that you say that, because I was raised that way, to be very, I mean, like, from being a young child, my dad was teaching us grappling and boxing and martial arts. And when I stepped into my spiritual work, I felt like I had to let that warrior go so I can. And it's so interesting where I would get those messages. My logical mind would say, put that warrior away. And then I would hear like this voice above me that would be like, or you can just embrace it and embody it in a way that you don't shame it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And so it's funny that you're even saying that, because I was just talking to my trainer who I do like powerlifting with, and his background is a professional fighter. And I was saying to him, I'm like, I'm realizing that I'm holding my breath a lot in the work that we're doing together. And I want to do some of this like fighting aspect again. I can feel it in my body. Like, I want to do the kickboxing again. And he's like, let's do it. I'm like, yes. So perfect timing, right?
Yes. Yes. Like, and that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, do the thing during Aries season. It's like, step into that warrior energy. I was thinking about things that I could do, because I have a lot of Mars energy in my chart. I have a heavily aspected Mars. And of course, Mars being the ruler of Aries, it's came out, you know, and I had a childhood where I fought a lot. You know, I got into my first fight when I was only in second grade, but I had physical altercations with people as a young child, and where that comes from and what that is, and learning how to understand what a Mars placement means. And when you have a highly aspected Mars, how you are going to have a propensity to get into altercations, because that's what Mars wants to do. So it's like learning how to temper that, learning how to exercise that in a healthy way. But also, it's like, there's a benefit into knowing how to stand up for yourself. There's a confidence that you develop. There is a fear that you master. And, you know, when we think about self-development and mastery, it's like, we want to have all of those parts of ourselves, you know, in check and ready to tap into when we need to. So, you know, this is just the nature of being human. And I think that Aries season is a perfect time for everybody who is listening to think about how they can tap into that warrior energy, whether it's through their exercise routine or whether it's just through practicing more self-confidence through various, you know, remedial practices. But exercise in combat in general, whether it's weightlifting or running or kickboxing or any type of invigorating where you're really raising the temperature of the body up high, is going to be beneficial for martial activity and mm-hmm. also for martial expression. You know, it's like for those, especially females who through conditioning and generational issues have, you know, we're always told to suppress their martial qualities, you know, to not be too this or to not be too aggressive or to not be too assertive. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we all have a Mars and we want to know what our Mars is and know how to tap into it, because we should all be able to step into those aspects of ourselves when the time is necessary, you know, to stand up for yourself, to be assertive, to be defensive if you have to, and to not be afraid to be brave.
What about the sauna?
Sauna too. Any type of heat, like the sweat, the heat, the raising of the body temperature. Yeah. It's all very Mars. Let's talk about the element of fire, because it's sort of like, you know, when we start to think about the nature of practices, it's kind of beneficial to really sit with what the element of fire is. It's like when we think about the nature of fire, for those who may not be aware of the four elements are like the four cornerstones of all of the systems when it comes to, you know, Western magic or hidden knowledge. It's like it's the four pillars. So you have earth, you have air, you have water, and you have fire. And you'll see these four elements in everything, whether it's alchemical principles, divination, astrology. And, you know, it's like you're always working elementally first. It's like it's the foundation of all practices is thinking about the elements. And so the element of fire is an interesting element because it's unique in the fact that it is one of the most destructive. When we just think about the nature of fire and what fire does and how it can just burn through and decimate things, it just turns it into ash. But how destructive it is, but there is the interesting quality about it is that it requires other elements to activate it. So when you think about the element of, say, earth, earth does not require any other element to be earth. It's just earth, right? The dirt, the rocks, the stones, the mountains, they just exist. Same with the element of water, same with the element of air. But fire cannot exist without air. Fire cannot exist without earth to feed it. And fire cannot exist without water to temper it, because it just burns itself out. So when you think about the nature of fire, there is a fragility to it. There is a, it's delicate almost for how hot and forceful and incinerating it can be. There is a delicacy, there is a delicateness to it, to where it's like, all of the other elements have to be at play for it to exist. So it's one of those things that when we have fire and when we think about fire, we have to nurture it. When we think about our ancestors living back in times where, you know, everyone was living by fire before we had electricity, the fire was the hearth of the home and it had to constantly be tended to, you know, because it's like once the fire went out, then there was a problem of trying to get the fire started again. So it's that there's a fragility to it and there's a delicateness to it that I think is important for people to think about when they're working with fire. Like you can't just have fire and have fire be fire. Like it's something that you have to maintain and you have to tend to within yourself. So it just doesn't come at a whim all of the time. I talk all the time about people being very feeling centered right now in these modern times. Everyone's kind of talks about feelings, and sometimes people don't feel like fire. They don't feel like tending to their fire. They don't feel like, you know, maintaining their fire, or they maybe take the fire for granted and it burns itself out, kind of thing. So it's important that fire requires a lot of mindfulness, if that makes sense. It requires a lot of tending. You have to nurture the fire and you also have to temper it to where you don't burn yourself out. So there's a necessity for moderation whenever you have either a lot of fire in your chart Or if you maybe have a strong transit and there's a lot of fire in the sky and it's aspecting your chart and you feel highly motivated, you can all of a sudden like overdo it, overexert mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those elements that's just, you know, I can't impress it enough. Like it just, it's delicate. You have to really work with it mindfully in order to harness it correctly and have it A, not be destructive, or B, use it in accordance to your will to where it is constructive.
Well, I'm just thinking about even the things that I was saying to myself in a very physical way. I would temper my warrior.
Yeah.
My whole life, I was a strong warrior. Mm-hmm. That energy, I got that down. But when I started doing my spiritual practice, I was like, oh, I need to tap into my feminine energy. So I've been doing that for what, 6 or 7 years, like really honoring the, trying to pull in that feminine energy of myself. And then almost like I said, I was shaming my warrior. How mm-hmm. interesting that in a very physical way, when I do my blood work, no testosterone in my body, no adrenals, no fire.
Yeah.
Fucking no burns fire. It out.
you squashed it with the water.
And, yeah, right. And then when I was like sitting there listening, I was like, whoa, I created this. I created this in my body. Yeah. And it's something I can nurture and bring back. And like I said, like my thyroid, everything's great. But it's an interesting concept when we think about what we're saying to ourselves, like the mental, emotional, spiritual, and how it really affects the physical vessel. Yes. And so when you were describing that, I was like, oh my gosh, I literally like stomped out my fire. And or there was points in my journey where I was going full force, full too much fire. Right. In the yeah. physical body, and then just getting completely burnt out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, wow. And when you think about working with the cycles of the zodiac, you'll find that it's going to go like fire, earth, mm-hmm. air, water, fire, or you know what I mean? Like it's a cycle. Yeah. It's like if you stay in tune with it, you're always exercising each of the four elements. You know, it's like, okay, it's great season. We're working with fire. The next season is going to be earth. We're going to be working with plants and dirt. You know, the season after that is Gemini. We're going to be working with the mind and with the air. So it's like, these are just really good reminders for everybody to exercise their elements. And that's how you create the four corners or the four pillars, which creates balance. Because really, health, healing, happiness, peace, it's all about balance and homeostasis. It's like finding that middle ground where all the four corners are strong and the pillars are strong and everything's flowing and moving and you're standing directly in the center and you are, you know, driving the ship with full control. You know, nothing is weakened, nothing is falling apart over here, nothing is overfiring over there. It's the balance. So it's like, that's why working with the zodiac and really leaning into the elements as you're working with it is going to help remediate and keep you in check. It's health, it's homeostasis. You know, I came into this work through magic because as a magical practitioner, I'm looking ahead at the astrological weather in order to find the windows to work with magically. So I was finding like doing this, like I have to step into the energy of Mars. If I'm working with a Mars in Capricorn, I have to step into the nature of Capricorn. I have to step into the nature of Taurus and Venus. And doing this for the past, you know, working with astrological magic for about the past 5 years, like, I'm like, God, there's something so good and meaty here in terms of just developing all these parts of yourself, because as a practitioner, I have to step into the embodiment of that. And I have no earth in my chart. I have almost zero fire in my chart. So I have to actively, you know, fire up my fire principles in order to maintain everything that I want to do and take action on and, you know, hopefully achieve. You know, that's the goal, is to achieve on my actions and to receive, you know, whatever success looks like for me personally. But it's just that nature of feeling rewarded for your work. You know, that's another element of fire, is feeling the light shining on you, the warmth of the fire, and receiving the idea that you've achieved something and how good that feels when you've reached those kind of pinnacles of success or achievement. It's that it's all very fire nature. And so it's like when we think about Aries is cardinal fire. It is, you know, the part of the chart with, if you were to look at the universal wheel of the chart, it occupies the first house. And it is all about you as an individual. And when we think about the other fire sign, which is Leo, and then we have Sagittarius, they are all individualistic signs. You know, it's like, so it's really like the nature of fire is very much about the self and the identity of self. So Aries is I am, and Leo wants to express, or Leo wants to shine. So how are the ways that I as an individual shine and express myself? How can I receive honors for those expressions? Because everyone wants to receive honors for what they do and how they contribute. And then we have Sagittarius. This is all about leadership and, like, you know, teaching and higher philosophy. So it's like, how do you stand apart in those forms of pursuit, the pursuit of knowledge? And so, you know, the nature of fire is very individualistic. It's all about the development of you as an individual and how that is important for people. It's important for you to know who you are. It's important for you to feel confident in who you are. And it's also important for you to master the desire for, you know, whether it's recognition or achievement. It's like thinking about the shadow side of the fire signs. You can get a little too far into the self. You can get a little too ego based and too self-identifying, too wrapped up in the self. Like there's always an excessive or a potential to become excessive, especially if you have heavy fire placements in your sign, and how you also need to learn humility and how to temper those desires and to temper that desire to be individualistic. So it's all the game of being human. Some of us were dealt certain hands that require us to temper certain things, and other people were dealt hands where we have to develop those parts of ourselves. So there's virtues and there's the shadow of the fire signs that are important, I think, for people to always observe about themselves. It's very important to learn how to be an observer.
Yeah. Well, you think of that I am, right? Like, okay, well, how do I fill this space in this room in this moment? Mm-hmm. Am I pulling myself back, not thinking I have confidence, I'm not good enough to be here? Like, I guess that would be the shadow, right? And it's like, oh, well, how can I pull that confidence out and be and feel confident in the things that I'm doing or like exploring or sharing? It's very interesting. I can see how some of those themes were already playing out in the last week and a half since our last conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just in conversations that I've had with clients and then also the group that I'm leading, I'm like, oh, those themes were already, like, again, they were already starting to bleed through, mm-hmm. and sort of bring that awareness in for the group or for even for myself. And it's like, yeah. Oh, and again, I love that, you know, when we started having these conversations about, you know, wanting to have you come and bring this offering, the awareness that's there for me in a different way, I can already feel the energy. Like, I don't want to say working, but kind of where it's like, oh, I could see how I was maybe being more lazy during this season when I was actually supposed to be challenging myself and having more structure. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I can see how I've sort of developed some of these habits in the past. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just me just wanting to be like, oh no, I just need to trust what my body's telling me. Whereas like, actually my energy was actually showing me to, hey, have a little bit more structure and come forward a little bit more. And then now, you know, like last month, it was like, okay. I'm really tapping into my dream space and very much so much more psychic energy that was happening, more spirit communication. Where do I need to have a little bit more boundary and be more creative? And like, I also caught myself wearing like red lipstick all of a sudden, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I don't normally do that during the day. It was more of an evening look, but I'm like, I'm going for it. Hey now. Right. Like, you know, it's just like all of these little things that you don't realize that we're doing maybe on the unconscious, but it is a part of the energy.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I also like to think of our bodies as plants. You know what I mean? When we think mm-hmm. about it, not just plants, I mean, we're a combination of animal and plant, but it's like the idea that we can influence ourselves. So if you are feeling really low energy, for example, I mean, this is technically what drugs are, whether it be drugs versus pharmaceuticals or drugs versus, you know, other stimulants, even coffee, alcohol, whatever. Whenever we think about ingesting something that creates an effect that we are trying to achieve, it's like we can do that energetically using elemental concepts. So if you as a person are like, I have no energy, I feel unmotivated, you know, are you supposed to rest, or is this some type of apathy or depressive state, mm-hmm. meaning that you are out of balance and that homeostasis is not present in the body? It's like, okay, how can I do this? Well, if I start applying the element of fire, meaning eating warming foods, drinking hot liquids instead of cold liquids. Like, it's amazing what happens when people fall into like states of apathy or states of depression. And I'm not talking about like severe mental health depression. I'm just talking about like, you can feel a physical depletion in the body or a physical decline in the body somewhat in some ways. It's like applying heat, applying warm food, raising the temperature of the house, bringing the element of fire in, and how creating these external influences begin to activate the internal environment to where all of a sudden you start to feel more motivated and more stimulated. It's like creating a stimulant, but doing it energetically instead of through, you know, a drug or a chemical entering the body. So these are things that you can apply to yourself when you find yourself in these states. It's the same of if you have an excess of heat, you know what I mean? Like you're anxious, you're feeling maybe scattered, you're running really hot, you can't focus. Like you can feel what happens with fire when it becomes a little out of control is it starts to spread and scatter and it's no longer focused. Then that means you need to start pulling in the elements of cooling water, cold liquids, you know, cooling foods, anti-inflammatory foods, moist foods, cold, you know, uncooked foods, things like that, and start bringing those into the environment to cool yourself down and to help temper yourself. And this is all, you know, what alchemy is and the basis of what modern medicine all stems from are these old ancient techniques with dealing with the elements and dealing with the humors of the body and how it all corresponds to the astrology. I mean, there are medical astrologers out there, and it's a fascinating subject to go down the rabbit hole of, because you will see inside of the natal chart the physical embodiments of the health, just because the signs will rule certain parts of the body and certain parts of the organs and different systems inside of the body, and how the planets, whether they are afflicted or not, will, you know, represent certain health, underlying health issues. Like, it's a fascinating subject that in of itself is just a deep dive into, where it just goes to show like where modern medicine, it had to start from somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It starts from the ancient principles.
I know this. Anytime anything happens in my body in a very physical way, I'm always like, okay, what planet? I'll Google it. What planet is this? Or mm-hmm. I'll text you. I'm like, what's happening with this part of the body? And then I'm like, oh my God, it makes so much sense. Cause then I'll look at my chart and there's something happening in my chart, whether it's a transit and I'm like, whoa, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, I remember when I would reach out to you about my dad and I'm like, whoa, I mean, talk about not making it up. Like, his chart is a perfect one to look at when you're trying to figure out like medical stuff in the physical body.
He has such literal astrology too.
He does.
Such literal astrology.
He's a perfect candidate for things.
Yeah, he really is. He's like the perfect test subject. Like, what should we analyze? Yes. But when we think about the nature of the planets and how, you know, like say, for example, Mars ruling Aries is a fire sign. So we're thinking about heat and inflammation and how Mars rules iron and how iron shows itself in the soil through how plants express colors. So plants that express red, so like red hibiscus, red roses, are going to reveal to you, show to you that they hold iron. So ancient healers would then work with red roses or red hibiscus to help build blood, you know, inside of the bodies of people who maybe were anemic, or they were also used often in childbirth where women would hemorrhage or bleed, and they would use these flowers and the nature of Mars and the blood building aspect that Mars reveals itself through plant life to help support their, you know, basically to help diminish the blood flow and help to, you know, coagulate it and help stop it and do all these amazing, amazing things. But it all stems from these very foundational systems between astrology and the connection of the earth as above, so below, and how the human body is embedded into that, because we are of the earth. Like, it is an amazing, amazing system to think about, just in terms of this is how humans have survived, through millennia, is the understanding these systems. And these doctors, or what we would call as healers, they aren't Western medical doctors, but just people who are healers or medicine men inside of their community. This is how they had this knowledge.
If we pay attention, it can show up in such literal ways for us too. The more that you describe not only how you're speaking of Aries, but even last month with Pisces, it's really, really interesting. I was thinking about our bloopers, right? It didn't make the cut for the episode last week, but we were already talking about Pisces, but we're going to be moving into Aries next week. And while we're sitting there talking about it, Aries is like, hello, I'm here. Our smoke was just going crazy. We were both in, you're in your home, I'm in my home, I'm burning my sage, you're burning your smoke. And we couldn't even see each other. Like, and
I was like, it's like fire wanted to come out. It was like fire.
It's just like, hello, fire. I'm here.
It's true.
It can be so comical in so many ways when you're just paying attention to those little things, and when you're becoming more, I guess, aware, it can be.
Well, the unseen world is so real. It's like the forces of nature, they're all around us and they're always interacting with us. And that's how they communicate, mm-hmm. It's like, if you start summoning the Aries gods, the Aries gods are going to show up and they're going to reveal themselves and communicate to you in the way that they know how, which is just in those ways. So I want to ask you, if you could reflect on anything that took place in Pisces season for you, kind of beginning this journey, working with the signs and the elements, like, how can you reflect on Pisces season? Did you have anything that came forth in your practice that you really were like, oh, there it is, there's Pisces?
Yeah. So I think I shared on the Pisces episode that I intuitively felt drawn to a very specific healer. He's a shaman and he's a spirit shaman. And I was really drawn to his meditation practice. Mm-hmm. Very like, do. Transcendental sort of meditation practice. And I really dove into, like, I would just be moving through the day and I was like, wait, I need to sit down and just tap in for myself and really tap into my own energy and my own inspirations and my own creativity. And so I was very much in that zone of introspection and, mm-hmm. and receiving but using that element, those elements of what comes with his energy to really heal the body. Mm-hmm. It was lots of frequency, lots of color, that was a big thing for me. And also I was drawn to a lot of water. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, not just drinking water, but I was like the baths that I was in and just really sinking into that element. And again, very dreamy. I was tracking my dreams a lot, noticing my psychic awareness and because a lot of times, like, Pisces season is, it's one of those seasons where I don't sleep very well because I am getting a lot of information. I always get information in my dreams, but it really comes in during Pisces season, lots of spirit communication, all of these things. But what was incredible about it is I was aware of it. I was like, oh, sometimes when you're like, I'm not sleeping. You're like, I was like, oh no. This is the essence. This is, okay, how can I use this energy and really lean into it? And so I was very intentional about that. Like, okay. I'm feeling this communication coming through. Oh, I'm aware that the spirit communicator wants me to share this information. And it would be so on point with what was going on in the season too, which was like, okay, that's interesting. And so I've been being more alert, I guess, and aware of those things, especially my energy tends to work in advance, like my themes. Mm-hmm. So even in Pisces season, I was already feeling the flame come in. I was already feeling the, and so I was like, okay, but wait, like, just, it's coming. I can feel that, but stay here.
Yes.
Stay here. Don't try. Cause I can jump very quickly. Mm-hmm. I get very distracted. And so I was like, oh no. I can see where I in the past would want to just go move forward and launch those things and do those things. But I really gave myself that permission to just like be in that energy. Like you said, that egg, like I can feel the inspiration coming. I can feel the fire wanting to move me forward, but I don't need to do that yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that yet. I got a lot of inspiration for what I'm going to be launching at the end of the year. And I was like, but I don't need to talk about it right now. I don't need to launch it right now. That's not the time for it. I'm just getting the details right now. And so again, it was that sort of slowing down process that was really beautiful for me. Cause again, I get bored very quickly and I move on very quickly, but it was a practice to just, stay here, be on this mat, be on this meditation mat, be on this. Also, I was getting a lot of, cause I was using a lot of healing modalities that allowed me to almost tap into my own energy where no one else is talking. Mm-hmm. And it was through music. And so I would just be laying down, receiving energy healing, but no talking. I'm just getting my own experience and tapping into my own experience of what my body was wanting to share with me. So that was another thing that came through for me too.
I love that. I love that. That's so perfect. And it just goes to show, it's like the awareness of it. And I love how you kind of told yourself to pause and not get carried away with the feelings, right? Because those feelings can be deceptive to us. You know, We give a lot of credit to our feelings, but it's almost too much credit because sometimes our feelings they can just pull us off track versus staying in the moment and having that mindfulness and knowing to slow down. I love that. That's perfect. Yeah, that's exciting.
I am so airy, mm-hmm. right? Ooh, oh, look at that shiny thing. Oh, look at that over there. I that's my tendency, you know? And so again, and this was the first time, and I don't know how long, mm-hmm. where I actually felt, because usually at the beginning of the year, I hit, like, I'm like, okay, I'm working, like just super busy. Mm-hmm. And I was really honoring each moment. Like I was like, no. I can feel where I'm going to be going, but I'm just going to stay here for a moment. That was even in January and February. But I was able to notice, like, Jessica, there was supposed to be some structure there that you weren't leaning into. I was just like, I guess I was doing structure in my body, like structure in the physical. But yeah, it was a very cool way to sink into it. Like I literally felt like I was in my body, even with Pisces season, which is kind of funny because I can go into trance, I can do all those things. And so I was like, oh no, this is very feminine. This is, I'm just going to be here. I'm going to float a little bit. What's interesting though, if I want to talk about a shadow aspect that came up wanting to be healed, mm-hmm. my near-death experience from when I was a young child where I had a drowning and I had to have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, that came in flooding my cells in a very big way.
Was it a water accident?
Mm-hmm. When I was a young girl, I was like 4 or maybe 5 years old. My grandfather thought like the best way to teach me how to swim was to throw me in the deep end. And I was doing the flailing, you know, like, and then I, at some point just and I don't remember what happened at that point. I do remember my waking up to my aunt doing mouth to mouth and some water coming out of my mouth.
Oh, wow.
And so that did come up into my body in a way of like, and now I'm remembering more of it. I did this somatic therapy experience I just told you about before we were recording. And that version came forward of myself. And I got to almost experience it in a different way where I got to kind of gather little Jessica up from the water. And my higher self showed me a version of me like actually becoming in flow with the water, not being afraid of it. It showed me my fear of water.
Yeah. Interesting.
That could come up too.
That's interesting. And because it's like that nature of, you know, because Pisces season, where it sits in the chart, not when I refer to that, I mean like the universal chart, it's very 12th house and it's that bridge. It's that liminal space between life and death. So that's very mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. So that came up and we worked on that in my session for that spinal energetics. I said, you know, I wanted to talk to you about this. I'm like, but this is something that's been belling through my aura, this drowning. And I want to sit with that. I want to like work that out of the body, that fear response out of the body. I want to see what it has to share with me. And it was interesting while she was working on me. She's like, use your breath. And I was like holding my breath. And I was like, oh, that's me in the water. I kept seeing myself in that experience of drowning, but it was showing up in my body in a very physical way. So we were able to move it. And it felt like velvet coming through my body, like just moving the trauma out. It was really cool.
Wow. I love that. I love that. That's very cool. No, it's like, it's, you know, the shadow of Pisces for me is always ends up being themes around disillusionment. So it's like waking up, that feeling of waking up to something that has been there, but you weren't looking at it. That feeling of like aware, like sudden awareness. So my Pisces experience, my main Pisces theme was that on the bridge of practicing various forms of magic through Capricorn season and then through Aquarius season, like things were being pulled through magically, so to speak, like I was pulling things into my physical world, so to speak, through various cycles, and how when it manifested into Pisces on the tail of Aquarius, there was an awakening to something. So it was a form of disillusionment. And it was so literal astrology for me. So for example, I have a Jupiter in Pisces, and Jupiter rules my fourth house of my natal chart. So the fourth house cusp, this is going to be themes around the home, you know, themes of the home environment, themes around the home. And Jupiter is up in the seventh house. So I have transiting Saturn that's going over my natal Jupiter. And Saturn is often, you know, he's the daddy that wants to cut through the veil of illusion. So he's in Pisces right now, cutting through the veil of illusion for a lot of people. So a lot of people that have Pisces placements right now are having a hard time because of Saturn's energy there. And people are waking up to a lot of things that they were maybe misled on, or, you know, misguided in some way, or thoughts that something was going to turn out great and it didn't. The reality, that's that feeling of disillusionment. And for me, it was an issue inside of my home with my plumbing. Once again, Pisces, water.
Oh my
and
gosh.
My house. And my house has, you know, I live in the South. We have very soft soil here. So it's like, you know, being concerned about your home, the state of your home, it's a lot of moisture. We have humidity. It's like, there's always a theme of water here in the South, put it that way. So it's like, there was something to do with moisture. It was moisture was showing up in my house, and we were trying to figure out where it was coming from. And so, you know, through the element of Pisces season and through Saturn combined with that disillusionment of waking up to something, the reveal was a plumbing issue underneath my house, and how it was very scary to me because I was worried that they're going to have to tear up my floors because of the way my house is built and how to access the plumbing. You know, I don't have a lofted house. And so the way that plumbing works here in the South is a lot of it's buried underneath the ground, and it's a whole thing. So I had this very like strong fear of disillusionment, like this plumbing issue was like blown up out of control. Saturn, you know, on my Jupiter ruling my fourth. And I was able to address it to where, you know, I called the person, I got a really good referral. Someone came in and they were able just to boom, boom, bang, fix it from underneath my house. And they didn't have to even come in the house, let alone tear up my floor in my house. But it was that disillusionment, that feeling of like water, something's amiss. And I had the awareness because deep down I knew that it was plumbing. Like that's that disillusionment. Like I had a feeling it was, had something to do with the plumbing, just because when we had remodeled our house, we moved some plumbing around. And so I kind of psychically, you know, intuitively thought it was plumbing, but I was trying to think that it was something else in order to, for it not to have to be the one thing that I was afraid of, you know, but then it all resolved. So we are, you know, the whole thing concluded. And that was my major Pisces theme, was pipes under the ground, under my house, hidden, which is very the nebulous nature of Pisces, Saturn being disillusionment, and my Jupiter in Pisces ruling my fourth house, which is my home. So very
interesting that you're even saying that now, because I'm thinking about Paul and how I had to hold space for him. I have Pisces in the seventh house.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very, I mean, he's now moving out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole month, maybe even a little bit longer, because I think it actually was carrying in through February, he was so emotional. And he's an emotional being anyway. Like he's very sensitive and he's very aware of his emotions. He's not afraid to cry. But this man was like, just, And I had to be soft with him, you know, and we're normally like, hey, you know, like we're kind of like masculine with each other. And now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh, wow, I did get to witness some of how that was coming forward in my relationship. And I wanted to show up for him in a way that was way different than I would have normally done. I was very patient with him. I was very tender with him. And I would just let him just emote and not be defensive, not Mars in Cancer, not be Yeah. Just listen to him and just hold space for him. And so, yeah, that was my experience as it relates to my chart, now that you're saying that. But I don't think I would have had that patience or that tenderness, honestly, if I didn't sink into my practice, my Pisces practice of being meditating and taking care of myself first.
Yeah. No, it's like, if people that have strong Pisces placements, it's like the theme of disillusionment will be a major one for the next, I think Saturn will be there for about another year and a half, but it's just like the reality of certain things that, because Pisces, one of the shadow aspects of it is that avoidant quality. So it's easy to avoid some Pisces themes. It's easy to place rose-colored glasses and only see the best in things. And, oh, it's not going to be that. Oh, it'll be fine. Everything will be okay. And how we can become very avoidant to uncomfortable things. And so me, I have a Cancer moon. So my home is it's a kind of a sanctuary. I work from home. I practice at home. It has to, like, my home is an important thing for me to feel safe and secure and nurtured. And the thought of, like, pipes bursting under my house and, like, them having to come in and tear up my floors.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, really stimulated so much anxiety and stress. And my husband was having to hold space for me because I was like, I don't think you understand. They're going to have to tear up the house. They're going to tear up the floors. I work from home. I got a busy schedule. What am I going to do? Like, all of the stress and anxiety. And it, of course, ended up being fixed like that. And none of those fears came into play, but still that disillusionment of having something taking place inside of underneath the house that I kind of knew was there, but yet I wasn't wanting to deal with, because I knew that I thought it was going to be such a, huge endeavor, and it ended up being nothing. So just goes to show, Pisces don't avoid.
Fun. And too, when they say this conversation that we're having, when they say astrology isn't real.
I know, right? Like, it's so real, and it can be so mundane.
It can be so literal. And you're like, whoa.
No, it's like literal transit. A literal transit just turns into the literal thing that it's like, oh, there it is. And is what's funny too, is my husband has Jupiter in Pisces as well. His is eighth house. So his has to do with money, So it's like the cost of getting the repairs, the cost of getting the pipe fixed, and the cost of that. So it manifested for him financially, and it manifested for me emotionally, because of, I work from home and I have such, I need to have a safe sink, sanctuary in order to function well. So yeah. But yes, those were our Pisces themes. And I'm thinking about how I'm carrying that forward with Aries, and how taking more initiative now, like, it really motivated me to be like, oh, I'm going, because I have an old home. My home is 120 years old. I live in the South. It's, taking care of the house and maintaining the house is a huge part of responsibility if you own a home in New Orleans or the South. So it's like, all of a sudden now I feel motivated to, like, take care of some of those little things and to really look at the foundations and pay attention to any shifting or movement. Like, I all of a sudden feel empowered through the process of dealing with that Piscean, what I was avoiding. I'm now feeling empowered and motivated to making sure that, the house is, every little thing is taken care of and it's well maintained and well cared for.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. If these examples don't get you motivated to think about how you can work with this energy, I don't know what will.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's a basket. It's a smorgasbord of opportunity. So yeah, when you think about avoiding things, that's the shadow of Pisces. When you think about the beauty of the imagination and surrealism, that's one of, in the creative aspects, that's the virtue of Pisces. So there's lots of Piscean themes, and depending on your placements and your chart, it'll manifest in either an excess, which that means you have to remediate, or it will manifest as maybe a latent energy. That means you have to activate it.
Oh, you're actually making me even think when you just said that, a deeper layer of that holding space for Paul, because as you know, normally when things get hot, like, I swear, I'm always like, the universe is taking care of me. All of a sudden he has to go to the desert house, or all of a sudden he has to, and I'm like, and we'll have like a little bit of breathing room where it's almost like I don't have to deal with it because he's going to go take care of it on his own.
Yeah.
Where I was like, no, I have to be here. Like, he needs this. And I'm going to be here for this. Where normally I'd be like, okay, bye. We'll see you. Okay, gotta go to the house. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, that's actually really funny when I think about that, like how that would have been normal for me. And he couldn't go out of town, which was another thing, because he had to be here for baseball and he had to be here. So we like he had to be here. But when I'm thinking about how that activated him, how we had a water leak, and he was, this is like, again, you can't make this up. So he was also creative design for all the baseball uniforms for all these teams for the entire league. And he was like, they messed up my designs. It's like they don't see what I'm seeing. Like they didn't do the colors that he picked. And he was like, how do they not see that this is a mistake? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And like he's like, he's showing me and I can see the mistakes. But the people he was working with, they were like, we don't see the color, just the color. And he was just getting so frustrated. And then like, yeah, another leak happened in not only in our house, but in like the whole corner. And they found a major leak underground as well. So they have to redo the plumbing on one of the other units. But we have a bathroom that is we have to like completely gut and redo the whole thing because it leaked from inside the wall and created a
Ah.
little bit of a mess.
Plumbing. It's a Pisces thing. With Saturn and Pisces too, because on the global level, like Saturn entered Pisces and all of a sudden we saw all of these water themes come forward. We
Yeah, like
saw
San Diego flooded.
orcas, attacking the sailors, and that one vessel that they decided to go to the Titanic and it imploded. It's like, trains derailing and chemicals spilling into the rivers and water systems. Like the themes around water with Saturn and Pisces and the disillusionment that's taking place is it's on the table until Saturn enters Aries. It's water's on the table.
Oh yeah. I just watched this reel the other day and I don't know if this is fact or not, but again, maybe it is, maybe it is not. But they were like basically grading all of the different spring waters. And I was like, no, not that spring water. They say it's like it's
Yes,
really bad. And I'm like, what?
plastic.
Yeah, like they were showing, Mountain Valley, the one that comes in the green bottle. I was like, oh, well, at least I have that water, when I'm in my glass, in a glass container. And they did a whole study on it that said it's actually really bad. And I'm like, no, is this real or is this somebody just saying this? Like, again, is it true? Is it fact? Or is this just like somebody who created a reel based on their own, opinion and having to discern that? But I'm like, oh, no.
It's like the thing. It's like having that awareness, everybody thinking that they're drinking bottled water is, filtered water, it's better water, it's this water, when in actuality we're finding out like microplastics,
Oh,
and
that too. Yeah.
it's just, basically tap water. It's just, it's like they're, but this is a part of the world that we live in. We live in a highly polluted and highly chemicalized, if that's a word, where we things are, whenever you have industry, you're going to have, pollutants as a result of industry. So it's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. And it's very sad that our waterways aren't being more protected, but that's a whole other topic of conversation.
We're gonna have to write all these topics down. We have
It's
to
like
write.
Saturn and Pisces, though, the disillusionment of it, to where it's like you are the realization that this is a real thing. Like clean water, fresh water is, it's fundamental to our survival and our health. And what does that mean if you don't have any fresh water? And even the, bottled water that people are paying for, or the filtered water that people are paying for, isn't healthy, and it has its own health, health issues that's coming along with it. Like there's just a lot on the table right now for being a human and having to navigate these strange, very strange times.
Yeah, no, I just saw another video on a reel where they were showing all of the garbage and plastic in Bali. It was like islands of these plastic bottles. And I'm like, wow, man, it's just like, oh, it was
Because
just.
those islands do not have, waste landfills. They don't have places for those bottles to go. So it's like importing their, tourism, and all of that is bringing plastics onto all these chain islands, and there's no place for it to be dumped. So where does it go but out into the ocean? And then,
Yeah.
it's a whole thing. I mean, we have so much, we have so much potential as humans. We're smart, right? We have technology, we know how to do things, and why we haven't figured out solutions to these very obvious issues is beyond me.
Yeah, especially I'm so sick and tired of seeing water bottles everywhere. I'm like, just get a canteen already, please.
No, for real.
You know, I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, so we're
We
gonna
talked about the element of fire. We talked about some of the shadow aspects of fire. Do we feel like we have an understanding of Aries? I feel like our
I think
conversation has sort of
so.
kind of went around a little bit. You know, it's like some of the key words for Aries is, you know, warrior, ambition, I am, identity, sovereignty. For those who are into the tarot card, it represents the Emperor card. And when we think about the nature of the Emperor, and I like to meditate on the tarot card and how it corresponds with astrology because it really does give you deeper layers of understanding. You know, what does it mean to be a leader in something? It's like you have to have the ability to make decisions for the collective. You can't be making decisions just based on yourself and your own selfish kind of desires. It's more about making these decisions that benefit the group as a whole, but you have to have a certain level of separateness from the group because some people are going to be unhappy with your decision. It's like when we think about the nature of leaders and leadership, it's like they have to do what's best for the long game or the big picture. And sometimes that's not what's going to make people happy in the moment. So they have to have that resiliency, that separateness to where they don't feel, you know, emotionally affected by that. They have that ability to, you know, keep themselves separate and sort of keep themselves purified of that emotion. Like that is the nature of fire, is it burns off water. When we think about elements, waters and emotions are connected. So it's like they are able to kind of keep the water burned off so the emotions don't affect them as well. And that is the superpower of Aries, is the ability to be brave, to lead, to have a long-sighted view. That's the cardinal nature of it. And how to have really good leadership, you have to be able to separate your emotional state from what you need to do, from taking action on what needs to be done, and being able to make those decisions in accordance to what is necessary and not what is going to make you or somebody else feel good. So that's the beauty of the nature of Aries, is to really kind of have that, imbue that strength and that bravery and that kind of warrior-like quality. And the shadow side of it is just, you know, being too far into the self, the excessive nature of the self, to where it becomes almost righteous in nature. Like the shadow of Aries can be very self-righteous, like I am right, and therefore what I say goes, and they have a harder time compromising. That's why Libra is on the axis of Aries. It's like Libras have the gift of compromise. That is the Venusian nature of Libra, whereas Aries can easily fall into a lack of compromise. And so, you know, that's why Libra and Aries work well together in opposition, is because they're able to see each other and communicate these things in a way that they can find kind of a center ground. So if you have an excessive nature or excessive Aries in your chart, or maybe your ruler is an Aries and sometimes it gets out of, you know, a little overheated, you apply the nature of Venus or you apply the nature of Libra to that, and to slow down and try to put yourself into the in another person's shoes, and to think more in like empathetic.
I'm not cutting this out. Any of you are bloopers.
More empathetic. Good God. It's like to think about, okay, so if you have an excess of Aries and there is, you know, or say you have a ruler in Aries and there is an excessive nature to where it's like you have a hard time compromising, you have to learn how to apply the nature of Libra, which is the ability to compromise and to think about other people and to put yourself into other people's shoes and to be more empathetic. And it's just, you know, learning how to temper some of that Aries energy in order to where it doesn't cause you you know, problems. Anything in excess is going to always be working at cross purposes to you. So as beautiful as Aries is, it can also be a destructive force that can be harder for people to harness in a constructive way if there's an excess of it in the chart.
And so an excess of I guess Aries in mm-hmm. the body would show up as like irritability, anger.
Temperament. Think about temper. Yeah. Like a hot, fiery temper.
Lots of F-bombs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's like, you think about
tossing of sandals.
Yeah, inflammation in general. But because Aries is ruled by Mars, there can be a recklessness to Aries natures. Like they can act before they think. They can get injured easily because they're sort of like, you know, running, you know, taking action on something before they're thinking it through. So therefore they are more susceptible to injury or harm or accidents. They can be accident prone. So it's like slowing down, learning how to slow down, learning how to, a lot of Aries people, it's funny. I mean, it's so literal, right? Because astrology is real. A lot of Aries people are in the business where they're either working with tools, like power tools, things that can cut you if you're not careful, or things that can injure you, or they'll be in things that have to do with needles and blood because of the piercing nature of Mars and how it pierces through things. I just had a client today. She's got this beautiful Aries sun and she's a tattoo artist. So it's like that nature of piercing the skin and you're dealing with blood and there's a desire to pierce through things and how it takes a lot of confidence to work tools and to draw blood or to, like, if you were a nurse and you're having to put an IV into somebody, like you have to be very confident in what you're doing because, you know, it hurts people. You can cause injury to people and there's a responsibility with being very forthright in your knowing exactly where to pierce the skin. So, you know, that's the beauty of Aries. They tend to have very Aries. They tend to be in very Aries industries, which will always have to do with piercing, cutting, tattooing, working with tools. And they'll also have a lot of times they'll be leaders, you know, so they'll be bosses. They will run crews. They will manage other people. They want to lead people. And they'll also be in medical industries. You'll find a lot of Aries people in military or medical industries because of that quality of surgery, cutting through the skin, piercing the flesh. So yes.
You're cracking me up because I was just having this conversation at a meeting before we hopped on. I was telling her, and now that I'm like even saying it out loud again, I'm laughing because I'm like, this is, you can't make the astrology up. Remember I was in Utah during Pisces season. I was supposed to be snowboarding. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling Paul, I was snowboarding. I was like, I can't snowboard right now. Like, it was almost like I forgot how. And I told him, I said, I just feel like I'm going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like if I go fast, I'm going to hurt myself and I'd rather not snowboard. Mm-hmm. And as you're saying this, I'm like kind of laughing because I was like, I was already picking up on that energy of like, hey, be careful. You can get injured. You're not mindful. And I am infamous for injuries.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of cracking up as you're describing that. I'm like, here I am on ice, on water, frozen water.
Yeah. There you are.
Going down this mountain at speeds that I'm not fucking comfortable with.
Yeah.
Worried I'm going to hurt myself. And I was like, I just feel like I'm going to hurt myself and I want to work out on Monday.
It's true. And it's like, you know, and you and Paul, your husband, has an Aries moon. So he's probably, oh, just go for it. Just do it.
He literally was. He's like, you just got to like do it, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, you just got to feel that fear and you just got to move through it. And I'm like, listen, bro, I want to work out with Tony on Monday so I can power lift. I don't want to hurt my back.
There you go. No, it's a constant state of balance. You know, it's a constant state of paying attention and a constant state of balance.
But it's funny how that came in during that time because it was so potent in my body. And I'm like, why am I worried about this in this moment? I haven't even gone down one lift yet. Like, what are you, but it was so loud in my body, you know, it was just, and I'm just cracking up because of the conversations that we're having. And obviously I'm going to see those themes play out. But in that moment, I wasn't seeing that. But after you describing this, I was like, oh, that was an opportunity for me to like lean into that. And just like, it's just, again, you can't make it up. It's just really funny, the synchronicity, you know?
No, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. So thinking about now, you know, how to work with Aries season while the sun is in Aries, the sun is exalted in Aries. I like to kind of place emphasis on that because the sun rules the sign of Leo, but it finds its sign and degree of exaltation in the nature of Aries. And so when you combine the sun in Aries, it is formidable. It is noble. It is powerful. It is all about action, confidence, mastering your confidence, like feeling good about what you're doing, feeling good about what you're, whatever you are trying to create in your life. Like there's a strong bolstering warrior, just it's like shining in it. Cause when we think about Aries alone being ruled by Mars, it's more about action and the penetration of action. But when we think about the sun in Aries, it's like the shining, it's like being highlighted and seen. So it's a really good time of the year for people to think about, like, if they needed to approach their bosses for a raise, or thinking about, you know, having the confidence to step forward and be seen to do something, like having that wanting to shine, wanting to be noted for their hard work or whatever it is. It's like you can really work with this energy consciously, bolster your own confidence. When we think about physical enhancements, even though it is very Venusian when we think about enhancements, but you know how being out in the sun, like solar worship during Aries season, it's like it's not too hot. The sun is not as potent in the sky yet, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there's enough sunlight, like going outside and doing a little sun worship, getting some sun on the skin, getting some light in the eyes. It's like you can really activate the sun within you in this time of the year. And it's not going to be hot and potent as if it were August or even, you know, July or so. So it's like a beautiful time to step into the honoring of the sun and honoring of confidence and how you feel more confident when you spend time outdoors and you get that sunlight in your skin and the vitamin D is going. And there's just a lot of healing and therapy with that work. And also just the confidence that it brings forward that you can then carry forward into whatever it is that you are pursuing in your life at the moment.
Again, I'm like laughing because when you said not wearing sunglasses, that was something that came in for me a couple weeks ago. Cause I was like, when I'm wearing sunglasses, I almost feel like I'm wearing them at night during the middle of the day. And I was like, oh no, I need to keep these off right now and just let the sun absorb into my eyes.
Sun gazing is a real thing. Yeah. And people are starting to talk about it more and more because of artificial light and the circadian rhythms. Yeah. And I just had this conversation too. It's wild that it gets brought up, but I came across an article where people are starting to associate sunburn or people that have a low sun tolerance to the overuse of sunglasses because it's the light, the eyes eating the light or the light shining into the eyes that activate the bodies, the skin and the melanin in the body to, you know, get activated to where it can start protecting the skin from sunlight and how there's a connection between the eyes and the skin and how it receives and absorbs and protects itself from sunlight because we all need sunlight. You know, it's like, even if you have very fair skin, you need to have some sun exposure. You just need to make sure that it's filtered sun or that it's not long-term sun, or it's not the heat of the day sun. It's more sunset or sunrise, but going outside and especially when the sun is low on the horizon, like sunrise or sunset, you can stare into the sun and that's the only time of the day that you can safely do that. But it's really important to activate the body and activate those natural rhythms with our light. I guess it helps increase our melatonin, helps us sleep better. There's a lot of health benefits to sun gazing and making sure that your eyes get enough light.
Well, I didn't realize how beneficial it was to be outside as the sun was rising until Charlie started doing surf team. So I would drive her and then I would take Cedar for a walk. As she was surfing, the sun would be coming up and I just felt different. Like, I was like, this is a thing. Like, this is what they talk about. Like before, I'd be like, why would I wake up that early? But now I'm like, no, I actually felt better in my body being awake as the sun was coming up. even if I was just like, I wasn't like fully facing it, but I was walking alongside of it and just picking up that energy of just being awake. Well, first I loved that it was quiet before the sun would rise, and you just have that peace and that quiet. And then as that sun comes, it's just such a beautiful view. My God, it's
Well, and
spectacular.
magically, I mean, you think about everything starts in the eastern horizon. And same with the birth chart, the natal chart. It's like your birth time establishes your rising sign, which is the constellation that's coming up over the eastern horizon. And when we observe a full moon, when she's like the, you know, full and the most beautiful, she's always rising over that eastern horizon. So there's something about that eastern direction that's all about renewal and all about the birth. You know, it's like after the sun declines and sets in the western horizon, falls underneath the sphere of the earth, and that's when we have darkness and then rises. It's like this renewal. It's like the birth of something. Like anybody who has the who is born right at sunrise, when the sun in the chart is right, basically right on the ascendant, it's considered one of the most auspicious placements, is to have that sun on the ascendant in the first house, and it's being born at sunrise, and how it's just this very empowering solar type of energy. And to have that embodiment in your first house means that you are always going to embody the nature of the sun, which is, you know, glory, which is nobility, honors, which is confidence, which is optimism. There's just all these virtues of the sun that is very optimistic. So whenever you're seeing charts that have that sun right on the ascendant, it's being born right at sunrise, and how that's just this really beautiful, powerful energy.
And it's such a beautiful practice. Well, one, to commute, to just to connect with that body of nature, but it's also free. Right?
Exactly. I have a very hard
It's
time with sleep, so therefore I don't ever have the opportunity of seeing sunrises very often. But there is just that nature of, I've been in Joshua Tree for sunrises. I've been,
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
out
so beautiful.
camping for sunrises, because you're just more in tuned with the outdoors when you're staying and sleeping outside. And, you know, it's just, there's something very magical about it.
Oh, I know when I'm at my desert house, like we don't have any curtains around it, like our entire master, and it's all windows all the way around. And when that light comes up, it's like it looks like candy in the sky. It is the most beautiful thing to wake up to. And I'm like, man, this is it right here. It's just so beautiful. You wake up so happy. Like
There you go.
you literally feel like you're in like a piece of art. Like the
No,
colors.
it's that very magical freshness. It's like the fresh sun. It's like, you know, it's the excitement and that feeling of just a new day, and there's just so much hope in a new day. You know, it's like that faith of a new day and what's ahead, and you're capturing in it, or you're capturing it right from the beginning. There's just this, I don't know, there's like the sense of magic about it.
Yeah, and that appreciation and that gratitude for something so beautiful, you know. Oh, so good. So good.
So for, you know, for people that want to maximize on Aries season, I encourage people to embody the nature of Aries through their external environment and through their external practices. So one of the things that I talked about for Pisces, and I'll be bringing it up from here on out, are the five senses, and how as humans we become influenced through our five senses. So you want to think about the nature of your taste, the nature of touch, smell, what you see, what's in your eyeballs, and what you hear. So to bring in the nature of Aries through the five senses, you want to think about music that you surround yourself with, food that you surround yourself with and that you consume. You want to work with colors very mindfully. I talked about how humans will decorate for the holidays, and Easter falls in Aries season, so you'll notice a lot of Easter decorations. But you can really take it into your own, you know, if you really want to activate that inner warrior or the sun in Aries, which is all about empowerment, then you want to work with the colors of Aries and the colors of the sun, and surround those in your home, put them on your body, wear them as accessories, or, you know, through your makeup, like how you were talking about putting on red lipstick, and how that changes how you express yourself just right away. It's very strange how just applying a lip color will make you feel enhanced or different in some way, shape, or form. And you can also bring these things into your altar space or your sacred space. You can work with plants, you can work with stones and metals and minerals, and how doing this for the next 30 days, roughly 30 days, how you begin to activate your inner Aries.
I'm already getting like so many downloads on what to do myself and how I can really incorporate that. I keep seeing myself doing breath work inside of my sauna. My portable sauna has red lights inside of it. I'll bring that in during this time so I can really lean into that. But I want to do like more of that physicality though too, like the kickboxing. And
physicality is a huge component. I was thinking myself of like things that I can do in my exercise routine that can bring more fire. I love music. So I really, because I practice magically and I'll be doing Sun and Aries magic. So I already have my musical playlists building. I do a lot of drumming whenever I'm working with Mars. So anything that activates the lower chakra centers, for those who are familiar with the kind of the base chakra or the sacral chakra, it's things that you kind of feel down low in the body. So you think about bass, you think about drums, even like, you know, kind of rap, how it has that strong undertone of bass through it. Things that have that beat and that rhythm are going to be good to work with for Aries. I also enjoy working with, you know, music that gets you like highly pumped. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depending on your age, obviously, I'm always a little embarrassed to share my music list because I'm like, oh, I'm really dating myself here. But like, things that make you feel like you want to get up and move, like move up and dance. Yeah. It's like whatever that song was for you or whatever that genre of music is for you. It's that activation through sound is highly motivating, and kind of carrying that theme or that playlist for yourself throughout the course of Aries season, you're going to embody Aries just by listening to Aries music. So consider that. In terms of food, we want to think about Mars and the sun. They're both hot and dry. So we want to think about warming foods, spicy foods. Mars rules things like peppers. You know, if you like to work with spicy peppers, the sun rules things like cinnamon and saffron and allspice. So it's like, you know, warming spices. A lot of like Vietnamese cuisine, I think, uses these kind of spices. I think Thai cuisine uses them. Latin cuisine obviously uses them. So it's like, you can kind of step into some different cuisines for the month of Aries and really think about warming the body with food and how that has this manifestation of creating more fire and really thinking about that. Ginger is also another really good one to work with. And it's both has solar and martial correspondences. Ginger is really good. You can do ginger in your, you know, smoothies or just taking a ginger extract or supplement of some sort, but it's like has that warming anti-inflammatory. Cause that's the strange nature of Mars foods is that it has the anti-inflammatory effect to the body. So things like stinging nettle is one of those ones that I apply always to martial because it's high in iron. So it's obviously it's Mars, it stings, which is Mars in nature. Same with thistle, but it has this really strong anti-inflammatory effect on the body. So it's good at, you know, dealing with inflammatory issues or arthritis or joint issues, or even just kind of, I don't know, general aches and pains. I feel like stinging nettle always just makes everything feel better inside of the body. So yeah, work with Mars foods and solar foods and think about warming. In terms of colors, I like to think about, obviously red is the most obvious because Aries and fire is very red, but we want to apply the sun to that. So you want to think about golden reds. So it's like, you know, the color of saffron or the color of kind of warm sunset-y, you know, the colors of the sunrise or the sunset. It's like really surrounding yourself with peaches and apricots and kind of crimson tones that can be very soothing as well as stimulating at the same time. And in terms of flowers, if you are into, you know, working with fresh flowers, it's like bringing in sunflowers, red carnations, any type of, You know, I have beautiful red lilies that bloom in my garden every spring. And it's like, they just remind me, it's like the sun in Aries is here because they always bloom when the sun is in Aries. And I love working with them. There's like big red blooms. You know, you think about hibiscus or anything that has like this kind of fiery red color. It's like thinking about bringing those into your home space or into your altar space. And it's like sunflowers are so funny to me because it's like they have this personality. They always remind me of a big smiling face. So it's like, you know, if your store or if your nursery is selling cut sunflowers, it's like working with the nature of the sunflower. Like it's optimism, it's hope, it's, you know, it's feeling good and positive about things, and surrounding yourself with these physical representations will be very useful. And then tying into the physical activity that we've talked about, it's like thinking about the martial activity, martial arts, taking a self-defense class, kickboxing, or even a boxing class. You know, it's like anything that really creates heat. I think dance is always a really beautiful way to express, especially if you're dancing to more like drums or rhythm, like having that very strong movements, not fluid like a Pisces movement, but very like, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but I'm sure that people
just show us.
It's like really thinking about the beat and the rhythm like the thrust of the body. It's just like, you know, kind of really tapping into what it feels like to feel like your body is drumming, and it's how it builds warrior energy. I love always thinking about indigenous cultures and how they would have war drums, you know, and it's like to get everyone to, you know, they would always have ceremonial dances to prepare for battle because it was all about embodying that nature of the warrior. So they would play their drums and they would dance and they would work around the fire and they would work with fire in order to stir up that energy, and how you can do that in your own practice and in your own space. And that kind of brings us to candles, which magically, candle magic is that stimulation of the element of fire, and how when you're wanting to take action on something, how working with candles and working with flame really is that cultivation of life, and working that petition with the candle and saying your prayers into the flame, and working with smoke. That's another way that you can work with the nature of fire, how smoke carries those intentions, carries those spells, carries those words into the divine. And that's how we communicate with the unseen forces, is through flame and through smoke. So that's another practice that you can bring in to step into the nature of Aries and step into the nature of fire.
I'm going to do all of that right now. I'm going to go inside my house with my drum that's been making lots of noises. I have one of my drums that I made. It sits on my wall. And for the last week, it's been going like cracking, like making noises. And I'm going to twerk and I'm going to bang on that thing. And I'm going to call you later.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just work.
With her red lipstick on. She's getting it.
I so resonate with that energy. I love it. I love, you know, and Filipino culture is very much about the dance, and like, especially incredible break dancers, and I'll like fall down rabbit holes, and I'm just like, because I grew up dancing too. And it's like, it does make you feel a certain way when you just get up and move your body.
It does. Same with like the Latin dances too. It's like the different, you know, the different styles and the different movements, the different sounds, and how it just pulls you in and captivates you. And it just gets you in that space. It can be very erotic as well, which is kind of another interesting way of working with Mars and Aries. It can be, you know, trying to stimulate your inner heat for sexual purposes or a sexual nature. That's a whole other way of working with it. But yeah, just work with the nature of Aries through Aries season and tap into your inner Aries and tap into your inner fire and your inner warrior.
So would you suggest that if somebody is just catching this Aries episode, that they sort of go back to Pisces just to see if they recognize any themes that they may have already done just innately, or just start here?
Yeah. I think that, you know, a lot of people, you know, like how I said, with people feeling like this is the beginning, I think that starting with starting with Aries and then revisiting Pisces at the end okay. would be fine as well too. But I just, because I love the nature, like the concept of the egg and yeah. what that means and how life begins inside of the egg state. And when we think about life in parallel to just creation, anything that we are giving life to, whether it's our career, whether it's a new endeavor, whether it's our home, whether anything, any project that we're doing, it's kind of a life form. And, you know, how it has to start in the egg. And that's why I like to think about the nature of the seasons as Pisces being the beginning, because of that, you know, it's like before you can take action on anything, you have to have the concept, you have to have the ideas, you have to have the structures and the planning and the inspiration for it to even spring forth. And I'm thinking too, I'm reflecting back on the conversation of Pisces and how I was talking about the mutable signs in connection to a mundane activity like baking a cake. And it's interesting to think about, you know, the nature of making something, but once again, kind of pulling in the alchemical principle of heat and how it's heat that really transforms and transmutes things into something other than what they were. So it's like taking the cake making metaphor or analogy and applying it to Aries season. It's like you baked the cake, or you've gotten all the ingredients, you've mixed the batter, you have, you know, pulled everything together, and now it's time to apply the heat to it, and how the heat is what actually transforms it. And many people often associate that renewal, that being born again, as a connection to the phoenix and that rising again and the transformation after being forged with fire. And that's really, it's a thing that you can practice and witness just through cooking, through, I love like thinking about pottery, how you can take dirt, earth, and water, mix them together, and then put them through heat, and it turns it into this vessel that's functioning and no longer resembles earth or water, how it's that transformational energy. And that is the beauty of fires. It's the thing that transforms, and it's the thing that, you know, transmutes things into something other than. It's the act of creation, really, you know. Yeah. That's what it is. It's the elements. And when you think about cooking, it's like, it's the act of heating things up is what creates and initiates the change. It's interesting to think about.
I know. And I love how you always describe those things, because it really does bring you into that energy. You know, it's how we can witness it all around us in many different ways. And, yeah. And so thank you for sharing all of that. I want everyone to let us know how you're leaning into the energy of Aries and revisit this episode, you know, like for the entire season of Aries, and see,
like, even if it seems a little silly to you, it's like, or how some people will have an aversion to the color red. I love to examine that in people, an aversion to the color yellow. And it's like really examining what that is and what is causing you to have that aversion, or what's mm-hmm. making you uncomfortable. There can be a lot of healing, a lot of therapeutic self-examination through that journey. And just paying attention how surrounding yourself with different elements, how it can create very physical, tangible change in your life.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. So good.
So I look forward to hearing it. And I look forward to doing it myself and being able to share some of my personal experiences through the work, and you as well, Jessica. It'll be fun to see what you get to tap into through your journey through Aries for the next 30 days.
I know. And I love the reflection piece, because then, like, again, like when you look back and you're like, oh, wow, you know, like I love how we were able to, you know, even revisit what we did for Pisces season. And so I'm going to definitely lean into the things that I'm feeling pulled to even during this conversation, and work with that energy in such a intentional way, you know. But thank you so much again for visiting us this month. And would you like to share with everyone how the listeners can get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find me at my website at kristinerlacher.com. And I'm on Instagram as well. You can find me there under my name. And yeah, reach out, and we can, if you are interested in getting a reading or exploring some of these remedial processes on a closer level, then we can connect and we can get you on your way with understanding your natal chart.
Yeah. Definitely do it, you guys. It's incredible. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Always, always.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to hearing from you. Please share your comments with me on Instagram at @peoplecallmejess. Your continued support means the world to me. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Plus, share this episode with a friend or loved one that you feel would benefit from today's conversation. Thank you for listening.